What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Stay tuned following Jeremy and you're Jill. Listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Good morning, everybody.
Hey,
happy Thursday. It's beautiful outside today. I don't know if it's going to get humid, though. I didn't feel that yet this morning. But it is very, very nice out. The lawn's got to get mowed this weekend, though. The little bit of rain we have gotten has caused the lawn to have to get mowed.
Okay, Dad.
It's going to happen this weekend. I mean, it's all right. The lawn's got to get mowed now. And that's all right. It's all right.
Thanks, Dad.
Talking with Patrick Hammer last week, I hadn't realized how long it had been. And he was like, yeah, like you've noticed you haven't mowed your lawn. And it struck me like lightning. I was like, you're right. It's absolutely correct. I should have known.
It's going to be kind of humid at points today, but can we just stop with that part, the humidity? I don't care about anything else.
The humidity, I was going to say, I'm a big heat guy, but the humidity can calm down.
Yeah.
Just a hair. Just a little bit.
That's all I want. I'm not asking for much.
Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We are getting close, though. Tomorrow begins the Premier League. I know a lot of people in Western New York do watch English soccer. I am one of them. I do not need to find a Premier League team like one Owen Parker. I already have my team, sadly. I didn't even try to push my team on him because that is my cross to bear, not his. He does not deserve that.
And what is your team, you?
West Ham.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I think one, Brian Mazurowski, is also a West Ham supporter as well. I think he's been longer than I have, though. Like, I'm 2014, 2015-ish is when I jumped into that because of the World Cup in Brazil. That's kind of what got me into soccer, and I went that way. I think he's been longer, so it's even more of a cross for his to bear. But I was not going to put that
on. So they're just, like, not ever that good?
No. They're very rarely super good. When I got into them, though, funny enough, because the Bills are getting a new stadium— they were getting a new stadium, and it was supposed to be this big thing. It's the London Stadium. They just had it in the 2012 Olympics, and it was going to be this big deal. 60,000-person seater, and it's going to put them over the top. They were going to become one of these big teams in England. They're already in London, right? That has not been the case. They have had periods of success, but oftentimes it is then followed by a period of very little success and the fear of relegation. They did win a trophy in this time, which has been cool, but it's the Europa Conference League, which is like the third tier of European soccer, like these like other tournaments they do, which I've always kind of enjoyed. And now they're expected to potentially get relegated this year. So I was not going to put that on Owen. Like Josh is trying to get Owen to be an Everton fan, and I'm like, don't do that, man.
What a fall from grace for the antagonists of Ted Lasso.
That was my favorite thing in Ted Lasso. So I'm like, they're making West Ham the villains. Of all the teams,
we're picking West Ham, baby.
In real life, Ted Lasso takes over a team like West Ham and is like, yeah, bring them up. And in this, they're like, no. Rupert's office is going to look like the Death Star. That's how evil they are. Incredible. That show's coming back for a fourth season.
It is.
I don't love that.
I don't either, but also they did kind of hit on all cylinders before.
I mean, it was a really good show. I enjoyed it. I will never say it was one of my favorites of all time. I think it's a really good sports show. I didn't love the ending. I thought the ending became a little too, oh, this is too perfect kind of deal. But it ended on such a note where I'm like, you know what? That fits the tone. And then they kind of set up they were going to do, you know, a spinoff. And that was exciting. And now it sounds like they're not doing that.
Now, hang on. What do you mean that sounds too perfect? Sometimes sports stories really are. Okay, even Hollywood couldn't have written that script.
No, I mean, that's right. But, like, it got to, like...
So I don't want to hear it.
Ted never became, like, a good coach. And then, like, he eventually became... Like, he discovered a tactic in soccer that had been used forever and it works because Jamie Tartt's there. It was a bit much. It was a bit much. Again, I liked it a lot.
You need the right personnel for the system.
Right. I liked it a lot. The first season, I think, is genuinely great.
Or you
television.
Need the right system for the personnel, and that's what he figured out.
He's the epitome glue guy coach.
He's
he
the
just
glue guy
brings
coach.
The best out of everyone, and that's what makes them a good team. He doesn't need to know tactics.
I guess he would be the glue guy. The problem is, like, that's usually, like, your third string right guard is your glue guy. Like, you're not going to see the field, but, like.
Does he make the team good?
His pregame speeches are immaculate.
Yeah. So does it matter how he gets there?
No, it's fair.
He's a motivator.
I guess he is the glue guy.
He's a motivator.
Yeah.
He's a motivator.
Yeah.
That's an archetype in college football.
Yeah. No, I guess he is a motivator. I like the season four, he's going to, not to spoil the show, but like.
Don't spoil the show. Don't do it.
It ended in a way where it's like, okay, Ted's story's done. Cool. And they're like, no. We like money.
We like money. That is exactly why, by the way.
And I'm looking so little forward to it. It's going to happen. The season will pass by, and I'll be like, oh, that happened? Interesting. Which is sad. I really did like that show.
It is. It's a money thing. It's a cash grab. Most comebacks of shows and IPs and movies,
right.
Like, that's usually how it goes, is we like money, and we know people are buy it.
Yeah.
Even if it's potentially bad.
Even if it's going to almost definitely be bad.
But that's how it goes. And that's on my generation. We kind of buy into the nostalgia thing too.
The nostalgia
hits
hard, yeah. Although
I remember this thing when life didn't stink all the time.
But then every now and then, though, you get one that hits. Top Gun Maverick was an absolute callback to, you remember this movie you loved back in the 80s? Like, we're going to bring it back. And everyone's like, this is actually awesome.
But again,
isn't it Tom Cruise's, I think, highest grossing movie ever? Good for him.
But very rarely is the payoff as good as the potential.
Yeah.
And that's something that, like, why do you think there's so many remakes done nowadays?
Mm-hmm.
To grab people my stinking age and we go, oh, I remember that. That's cool.
Yeah.
Hey, remember pogo sticks?
We're going to bring them back.
We're going to bring them back. I don't know. I don't know if they've actually brought back pogo sticks. They ever died?
Were they ever a thing? I mean, that's the real
put it on
question.
The poll. Was pogo sticks ever a thing?
Was it ever actually popular?
Don't put it on the poll, Chuck.
Speaking of payoffs and potential, though, we did get the news yesterday. James Cook gets his contract, 4 years, $48 million. Although we eventually now got more of the details via SpotTrack.
We did get the details now. And
SpotTrack has it at 4 years, $46 million. And I will say, an interesting note on the James Cook extension. It sounds like of the almost 30 million he'll get, it's about 28.8. It sounds like he's getting 25 of that within the next year.
By March.
Yeah. He gets 15.2 guaranteed at signing. And then this is, again, via SpotTrack, Mike Jannetty. He's going to get around 10 next February, March, around that area. And so most of his contract.
Most of that guaranteed money, it's already paid out. And most of that contract, you're right, is able to be a cut bait contract.
And so on that, and Mike and Chris brought this up yesterday too. It's like, it's weird to like look at a contract and go, when's the soonest I can get out of it? Like that's never a right way to look at a contract for any sports player. You should be just excited you have them and moving on. Where now I think many of us have gotten to show me the details. I want to know how bad this is going to hurt in 3-4 years. But for the Bills with James Cook, the dead cap hit this year's the worst. He's not going to get cut. Next year it's 9.6, and then it drops aggressively, 11.3, and then now in 2 years, $8 million and then 4.7. I mean, they really front loaded this contract so that it's kind of essentially a 3-year deal.
And that's how you kind of want to play it. And that's something we were bringing up yesterday of, if this is effectively a 3-year deal, you can move on because of how volatile the running back position can be for a player. We saw and continue to see players that hit age 28, 29, and they fall off of a cliff.
Yep.
Very rarely do you get someone that's a success story into their 30s. Derrick Henry, 31, is probably your rare case right now. And even then, no guarantee he stays that player for the next 3 years.
He has become a little bit of a Tom Brady, though, where we're all expecting the fall off, and he just kind of refuses to have it. I don't know how long that'll last, but also you look at Derrick Henry. We all get it. He's 6'3", 230. He's not built like every other running back. That's the big thing for him. Barkley is sort of the one I look at and go, man, is he really going to keep going? He's a physical athlete, don't get me wrong, but he's also, yeah, like he's a top five running back pick. He's not the physical, like you say with Henry, he's built in the lab. I mean, you don't get that guy.
Test tube baby.
Yeah, you don't get him every once in a generation. I mean, he's once every 35 years. You get that kind of player,
that kind of build player, that kind of physical player, mm-hmm. at a position that demands physicality. He brings it to you.
Yeah.
And he's still great. And it's like, okay, that's cool. And you see how quickly a career like Todd Gurley's went away from him. And you're just like, all right, it's clear that somebody had to stand the test of time.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, ready? We're talking about Derrick Henry. He's 31. That tells you the point about running backs in its entirety right there. He's 31, and we're talking like, oh, he has been here forever doing this. No, it's just the possession.
Yeah, he's been in the league only since 2016. It really has not been that long.
And that's the position. That is running backs.
Mm-hmm.
That is how it goes, is that we're marveling that someone is still at the top of their game at 31 years old.
What's crazy, too, so it just real quick on Henry here. What's really crazy about him, his first 2 years in the league weren't all that impressive. The Titans hadn't figured out how to use him. So in the quote-unquote best years to use a running back, they weren't.
They didn't.
They didn't do it well. They eventually figured out his third year. He goes over 1,000 yards, 12 touchdowns. Then you start to see the Derrick Henry, we all know, 1,500 yards, 2,000 yards. Drops off a little bit because he only plays 8 games in 21. But then he's
right back.
And
still almost gets 1,000 yards.
Yeah, he's right back to it. He has not had under double-digit touchdowns since his second year in the league. Last year, he goes off for over 1,900 yards. If he would have hit the 2,000 mark, he would have been the first running back to do it twice, right?
Right.
I believe that's right, yeah. But even then, you never know when the cliff's going to come for him. Saquon Barkley, this year, we have no idea what's going to be for him. He had the most touches of his career last year since his rookie year. His rookie year, he had 352 touches because obviously he's both a receiving and running back. Last year, he had 378.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we mentioned that number yesterday, the 370 mark.
Which Henry has hit that, and then he missed half the season.
Mm-hmm.
So like, even Derrick Henry was not
able
to omit from the curse of 370.
His 2,000-yard season, he had 397, and then, yep, misses most of the season.
Yeah, misses half the year the next year. Still almost gets to 1,000 yards, so how cursed was he really?
Well, I mean,
but he was injured.
But then even the year after that, he hits 382, goes for 1,500 yards, but then it drops the next year. He goes for 308 total touches, and he drops 400 yards rushing. Last year, he goes back up to 344. But he is sort of the marvel. And the thing is, too, that's not even who to, like, put James Cook in the same category as.
Correct. We're just talking about the player
The fear was, though, if they paid him $15 million, well, now this is who we have to talk about. This is who we have to compare him to. Instead, he hits around 11.5 is actually his average salary per spot track. And so on that, he's more around the Kyren Williams, Josh Jacobs sort of mold. You know, he is the guy that only gets about 48% of the touches or 48% of the snaps, excuse me. And it does not sound like, we talked with Sal yesterday, Brandon Bean spoke. It does not sound like just because they paid him, they're going to use him more. They want the role he has on the team. They just want him to keep doing it and perhaps get even better at it, right? Maybe have a few more explosive runs, maybe break more out in the passing game. But ultimately, what they're asking him, they want him to do. It's just, it is curious to me. And this is something I like. And I mean, we could go back and to the other contracts they've signed this year. I haven't necessarily looked at all of those a ton. But this is something like the Eagles do, where it's a lot of cash up front so that you can absorb the dead cap hits later on, where all of a sudden they become much more manageable. I mean, you see here, it's an $8 million cap hit if they cut him in 2 years. But that's like a disaster scenario they do it. If they do it in 3 years, it's super manageable.
Yeah. And that's exactly what you think the contract is going to be.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
I would say the whole time, because you consider how much of the money is guaranteed on a four-year deal like that. Before we even got the details, we were kind of leaning into this might be effectively a three-year contract.
Mm-hmm.
Because most NFL contracts seem to work that way, where you can cut bait in that last year, typically. But it's the volatility of the running back position to where, yeah, this is effectively a three-year deal. The term then doesn't entirely kill you. Mm-hmm. Not that 4 years would.
No, and that's right. And we mentioned that. This was never going to be an albatross or an anchor contract for the Bills where they're just like, we can't get out of this. Like this is absolutely hamstringing them to what they want to do. It won't. I know we do look at guys like Curtis Samuel in terms of his $7 million cap hit. That's kind of been a hit for them. That's more a hit towards the end of free agency where they maybe want to do some things with guys being available on the trade block, what have you, that they kind of can't.
Mm-hmm.
But we also wouldn't be having these conversations about Samuel if he stayed healthy. Same will be true of James Cook. If he stays healthy, we're not going to have a lot of these conversations. They'll be just fine. They'll be able to add more guys. I do wonder, though, if this will cause them to have some tough decisions about the interior of their offensive line with McGovern, Torrence, Edwards. I mean, what is that going to do for them?
You might need to replenish via the draft
very
quickly, very capably. And that's the other part, capably.
Yep, and McGovern is also on the last year of his contract. I mean, that's where Joe jokingly said, like, wouldn't it be funny?
No, well, not at all.
But it is a conversation we will probably have to have in the next few months of, are they going to bring back McGovern? Or was the hope going to be having Cedric Van Pran Granger eventually take over the role?
Be ready in the wings all along.
Mm-hmm. Which for many people, even last year, had that feeling because we didn't know what McGovern was going to be at center, obviously, with Mitch Morse leaving. I know there were conversations amongst Bills fans of like, is he going to take over sooner rather than later?
Is that the draft starts?
Yeah. Now we don't really know. Van Pran Granger has not practiced at all in training camp. I think it's a calf injury that he's had. And so we really have not been able to see him at all. But perhaps that's been the Bills' big plan all along is ultimately we're going to let McGovern walk because we have a guy in-house who for 2 years would have been working with Aaron Cromer, who's worked wonders for them on the offensive line, not even just with the starters, but the backups as well. And he slides right in. We'll see if that still is the case, but they've also got other guys that they've drafted, you know, that are, I don't want to say waiting in the wings because maybe not true, but that they always have depth. They have depth that maybe one of the most important groups an NFL team can have, which is the offensive side of the trenches. Now they've done the same on the defensive side as well. We're going to see how much that hits for them this year. And for me as well, and I was having this feeling yesterday with the Cook stuff, like as important as it was, as much you know conversations as it got to, it was always at most just an annoyance to me. I never thought Cook would miss games, especially with how he was handling himself. I never really was banging the drum to, you need to pay a running back. If anything, it was quite the opposite. But I got to there yesterday that I'm about a 6 out of 10 on it. I'm above average. It's fine. He is their biggest playmaker outside of Josh Allen. They need him there. But for me, like the big storyline for most of this offseason has been the defense, has been the defensive line, has been the safety room. And it still holds true today. I'm like, I think the offense will be fine. To me, it has always now still been about the defense.
What's the line I said yesterday? Back to your regularly scheduled programming. Yeah.
So I'm right back to like, okay, what is TJ Sanders doing? Is Cole Bishop healthy? Is Deion Walker still looking like a bit of a force as a fourth round pick? What's Landon Jackson doing? Bosa, is he healthy?
Is Trey White able to hold it down? When can we see Harrison back? Everything that we have questions about is on the defense.
Mm-hmm.
Is Matt Milano back to his usual wrecking ways? These are all defensive questions. I'll yield one question to the wide receiver position of who is going to be the next player to step up this year.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the only question now that you have on the offensive side of the football? Yes. Well, the other might be, can Dalton Kincaid improve on his numbers?
But to be fair, that's the wide receiver room as a whole. They've always treated Kincaid as one of their receiving weapons.
So ready? That's it. That's the only question that I have. Because Kincaid can then fall into the who steps up on the receiving end this year. That's it then. Cool. That's the only question that you have on the offense. The defense has too many of them. And they took this offseason and acted like they had a bunch of questions on defense.
Yeah, they tried to answer as many as possible. Yeah.
They acted like a team that knew they had questions to answer, and they are trying to find those answers. And it's still to a point where the popular thing when these two players asked for trades, it makes way more sense for the Bills to add Micah Parsons versus Terry McLaurin.
Mm-hmm.
Even after all the changes that they've made on the defense this year, it still is the question that you answer with, yeah, you know, the Bills should still go get the pass rusher.
Yeah, that's been the dragon they've been chasing
for
years.
Kind of the Achilles heel of this team with this regime is that they have not been able to get the top-end pass rusher. And the one that they do throw a bunch of money to in a reactive state looks the part until he gets hurt. So even bad luck has chimed in on the search for the pass rusher, the defensive end.
Mm-hmm. In 11 games played that year for Von Miller in 2022, he had 8 sacks. He had 10 tackles for loss, 12 QB hits. He was the part that you wanted. I mean, that's the shame of it. They did get it right. They paid a lot of money to get it right, but they got it right, and then he got hurt.
And then he got hurt, and then it became very wrong, unfortunately, very fast for them.
Mm-hmm. Which is, to be fair, true of most contracts. You pay with the hope that they don't get hurt. If they do and they miss a lot of game time, then it hurts. That's when it stings. You can usually live with bad contracts because you're getting great players. We all said it when Von was signed. It didn't matter if they won a Super Bowl. And to start that year, what'd they have against the Rams to start the year? Like 5 sacks? I mentioned too, Rousseau breaks out in his second year with Von Miller helping out. It looked perfect.
It looked like it was going to be the piece that they needed until...
But now they're back to the drawing board. They get Joey Bosa. He looked very good in his first preseason action. Not a ton, but individually he looked very good. And that's a big thing with the preseason as well. We try to look much more individuals rather than the Bills on conversion downs, fourth and third down combined, going 11 of 19 defensively on those conversion downs. They were horrific as a team. But individually, TJ Sanders looked very good. Deion Walker looked very good. Michael Hoyt and Joey Bosa looked very good. Matt Milano. Looks like he's right back to where he should be. You know,
could be.
The one I'd maybe be worried about is, are they going to target CB2 a lot?
Yes.
With Trey White. But also we do know they don't really game plan. So there is probably, hey, don't go out there throwing your body around trying to make a play. Just sit back five, seven yards back and just make an open field tackle.
But also the answer is, of course they're going to target corner two. Who's on the other side of the field?
Right.
Like, of course that's going to happen because I saw a surprising amount of worry about Trey White after that first preseason game. And I'm sitting here going, the only play I really didn't like from him was when he got dragged to a first down.
Right.
That was the only really what I'd call quote unquote bad rep.
Mm-hmm.
There's even a punch out. Goes out of bounds.
Who jumped on that fumble? It wasn't Andreessen, right? Oh no, nobody even did.
Yeah, it got out of bounds.
Yeah, it went right out of bounds. Nobody jumped on it.
But that's still... I'm going to expect corner two, no matter who it is, if it's White or Hairston, to have a lot more attention and show a little bit more signs of struggle. Why? Because they're seeing the football a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not going to be an indictment on cornerback two, whoever it may be. It's going to be teams recognize, yeah, we don't like throwing to that guy over there.
But the hope is he holds it down enough to where you kind of have to go to the other side. Or Hairston comes out. You know, even after this injury, and is able to take that spot back, and that's ultimately the hope constantly is that they eventually get to a point where you have to target Benford, because even targeting Hairston or White is a bad idea. We'll see with the safety room as well. Cole Bishop, who's back out there, it seemed in full yesterday, and we'll get more on practice yesterday and what is to come this week for the Bills as they get ready to travel to Chicago for a joint practice tomorrow. Sal Capaccio joining the show when we come back. You're listening to the Extra Point Show on WGR.